Welcome to Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. My name is Sam Mulvey, and joining me today is Becky. Hey.
Hi, Sam.
And Bridget for the first time in a while.
How are you? It's been a long time. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, hey. So we figured we'd start with some, a fairly straightforward opening for once, but I figured we'd start with some good news, because there's a lot of good news out there this week. The Republic of Ireland passed a historical popular referendum on Saturday to legalize marriage between same-sex couples. Whereas many states and countries have legalized same-sex marriage through legislation and court rulings, this is the first time marriage equality has been approved by popular vote at a national level. The vote amends the Irish Constitution to grant full marriage rights to LGBT individuals.
This is so cool.
It's awesome.
Well, yeah. It's the first time, I'm pretty sure this is the first time marriage equality has been done by national referendum, correct?
Yes. Yeah, that popular vote thing. I mean, in Washington, we had it at the state level done by popular referendum, by popular vote, but this is a whole nation.
Proud of that, yeah.
And the thing is, this is a nation that only 22 years ago still had homosexual acts listed as a criminal offense.
Right.
Really?
This is a nation where in the 90s, you had entire constituencies, entire parliamentary constituencies that voted soundly against divorce. And some of those same constituencies, in fact, all of them except for one, voted a majority yes in this particular referendum. It's pretty amazing when you're looking at something that is overwhelmingly Catholic, right?
Right.
You have huge numbers of people that are still sort of bound culturally and somewhat religiously, if you will, to the Catholic Church, but not really in line with some of its teachings.
Yeah. Who was it? It was the Archbishop of Dublin.
Dermot Martin.
Martin, yeah. He was saying that the church really needs, like, a reality check.
I love that. Which... when you got the head of your church saying, we need a reality check.
Right?
Well, it does worry me about what kind of reality check he might be looking for.
Yeah.
But this might be... I mean, because this is what goes on in the EU. The EU marriage equality isn't quite the thing that it is in the United States, as far as I know. Ireland is an EU state. So,
well, Ireland in 2010 actually had legalized same-sex unions.
Right.
But that was through a legislative action. And this is what makes this different is that it's through a constitutional amendment.
As far as I know, the only way the constitution in Ireland can be changed. I read that in response about this.
Yeah. So exactly. For same-sex unions, that could have been given, taken away by the parliament. But this can't be taken away by anything other than the voice of the people again saying, actually, no, do-over.
Yeah.
Something tells me that there is not going to be a do-over.
No. No, the response has been overwhelmingly positive and celebrations all over the country. It's been great.
One thing I always pay attention to is the rural-urban divide in a vote. Living where I do and where I have lived, that's always been a pretty sharp divide. Not too sharp here, actually. Only one parliamentary constituency out of 43 voted majority no.
Yeah.
So that's like the, you know, if you look at it, it's kind of, you know, it's legislative district. So if you look at the specific legislative district, it'd be one little tiny speck out of the whole island that said, no, thanks to, you know, equal rights and all that.
Right. It's pretty amazing.
It is. And the fact that so many, like, such a high percentage of the population showed up to do this vote, higher than any other election that they've had. So.
What was the actual?
I think it was, like, over 60% of the country showed up to vote.
So you have over 60% of a voter turnout, and 62% of those voted in favor of the constitutional amendment. That's a pretty, pretty strong showing from your populace that, hey, our social and civic values differ from what the overwhelming religious values may be.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a pretty good point in favor of secularism.
Sure. I think it is. Sorry. That sounded completely I'm just out of my head today.
Yes,
yeah. Sure,
is.
Whatever. Yeah.
No, it absolutely is.
No, it totally is. This is incredibly important. And my only hope is that this has some effect on certain judicial peoples on the other side of the continent.
Perhaps. Hey, did you see something that was actually kind of cool?
What's that?
So it was a little bit off and on rainy in Dublin yesterday, and there were double rainbows as the celebrations in favor of the vote were happening. I mean, it was like a gay pride parade where the heavens opened and decided to grant double rainbows. And the just funny thing is, you know, on social media, you have a lot of folks that are secularists and atheists and saying, man, it's at least it's you know, the rainbow is here. It's really nice. We don't think it was Jesus or God that did it.
It was a sign from God.
And we have seen people saying, hey, this is Jesus giving his blessing on gay marriage.
Right, yeah.
I mean, if every single rainbow gave a blessing on something, I don't know that anything would be considered unblessed. But
right.
I don't even know if I say this, but I had the sneaking suspicion. As you may or may not know, my last name is, in fact, an Irish last name.
Is it now?
Yeah.
Really? Mr. Mulvey.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm probably about as Irish as Play-Doh, given that I live in the United States. But
now, are you talking about the kids molding clay or the philosopher?
Oh, either way. Yeah. I guess that could work. But my aunts way back when, about 20 years ago, went to Ireland to find out if we were actually Irish or not. And the county where she went to check up on the last name is the one that said no.
Oh, dear. Oh, Sam.
Oh, sad.
So if you had been not just a...
What does
American,
that mean? Absolutely nothing. Yes. I'm not Irish. I'm from Illinois. I'm Illinoisan. I don't know what the hell that is.
But you do have a lot of Americans of Irish heritage that are saying, I'm really proud of my Irish heritage on a day like this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I'd be proud of anybody. I mean, right? You know, I mean, because we're all, well, my humanism thing kicks in. I go, yay, people! Hooray, people! Hooray, people for not being jerks to other people.
Well, we'll see if this really does mark a sea change in terms of other social issues that are really, you know, that the Catholic Church has a stronghold on. I mean, abortion rights are still not open to anyone in Ireland under most circumstances, and that's a social value that's dictated by the church. And, you know, I mean, again, in the 90s, it was the time that they were voting on divorce and abortion and homosexual, you know, rights in terms of marriage wasn't even on the table at that point. So we'll see if this really marks a true sea change in things other than this particular value.
That would be amazing. That would be so wonderful.
I absolutely agree. Well, yeah. This may seem like a bad news thing, but I actually kind of like my thoughts on this one. This is an email from Brad from Utah, who writes, do you think Christians or religious folk in general are trying to cause the end of the world actively or through neglect? It would make sense for people to try to make their prophecies come true. I don't know, Becky, where are you on that?
Well, I know, I guess my familiarity with this is not amongst Christians, but amongst Jews. I come from Jewish heritage, and there's sort of two different denominational sort of outlooks on this. And the more progressive or liberal, sort of reform conservative Jews is, let's not try and bring about the end of the world through neglect. Let's try and heal the world. But you do have very religious Jewish segments that say that all of these things that are terrible that are happening mark the coming of the new age. My understanding is that somewhat similar with Christians. Now, I don't know if they're actively involved in trying to wreck things,
yeah.
But I know that amongst very religious Jewish populations, sometimes there is a hesitance to try and fix something because it is deemed as a sign that a new age is coming.
Yeah, and from my experience, it's not so much that they are actively trying to bring about things that are would signify the end of the world. But that they're not really actively trying to stop anything from happening.
We did have in the state of Arizona elected officials that said, well, we're not going to try and act to prevent any global warming because the Lord promised Noah that nothing would flood again.
That brings it to my point is there is sort of an ameliorating, you know, they might preach fire and brimstone and doom and spaceships, you know, on X day and all that. But honestly, there's a moderating effect of having political and social power. Do you think the Pope or the whole Vatican hierarchy or Benny Hinn wants the world to end?
No,
things are going pretty good for them. I don't think they want to get off this particular train because, you know, I mean, Benny Hinn says, please, please. The Lord said, give me a plane, give me a jet plane. And he gets a jet plane.
Yeah,
I'd be pretty. Well, okay, other than the fact that I have self-value, I'd be pretty comfortable with that. it's the people who don't have that sort of social power that you have to watch out for. And then there are some people with social power who are, you know, just nuts in the colloquial sense and want to hurt things. But in the case of these people who say, well, we're not going to worry about the environment because blah, God said blah, blah, blah. People who say that, and this is the political side of me coming out, people who tend to say that are backed by corporations, Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it is the sign of the times in the United States. It is just the fact that politicians tend to be backed by companies, tend to be funded by companies, is just true on both anywhere.
Yes.
You know, unless you're in third party politics. A lot of these people who are, I think they're just using religion for a justification to say to back their corporate, you know, the corporate sponsors.
Now, could it be that the corporations sort of predate upon the religiously fanatical politicians to say, hey, we have a corporate interest that will then be aligned with their particular religious bent, and we can make them say, hey, we'll donate to your campaign as long as you, because you don't think the world is in need of environmental regulation either, because you think it's going to end in the next few years.
Well, I think globally that, I can't speak to that globally, but I think in the case of the United States, and I do pay a lot of attention to politics despite the way I act on the show, I think that's becoming less and less true, if it were true at one time, is I do think there's a split there. You know, business people want to make money, people who believe the economy is important because, you know, they understand math, and then there's people who believe in God, and they all, and traditionally in the United States they've always ended up on the same side of particular fights. That's becoming less and less true. Marriage equality is a great example of that. It used to be good for your pocketbook to say, no, I'm not really into that marriage equality thing. It isn't anymore. I mean, go to the Pride Parade in Seattle, and you'll see the corporate sponsors, and that'll tell you everything you need to know. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll stick to the good news, I think.
...48 hours. 24 hours, 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee, ANNEXradio.com, now on iTunes and Stitcher.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Imagine tropical waters, warm sandy beaches, friendly people, incredible weather. The English-speaking Caribbean island nation of St. Lucia awaits. Don Summers and his team at Professional Realty Group are ready to assist you. Whether you're looking for an investment, a place to retire, or a killer vacation property, St. Lucia has homes in all price ranges starting at $110,000. Call Don at 780-237-4718 and check out dndrealty.ca.
Join Seattle Atheists at the Hall at Fauntleroy on June 4th for an evening with Seth Andrews, host and producer of the award-winning Thinking Atheist podcast. A former Christian and religious broadcaster, Seth's everyman approach brings millions into the conversation about religious beliefs. Doors for this event open at 6 p.m. for a cash bar reception, followed by a talk at 7:15. Seth will stick around afterwards for a signing of his new book, Sacred Cows. Tickets can be purchased at the door and at brownpapertickets.com. Brought to you by Seattle Atheists. We believe in you.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We've got some people we ought thank, I believe. I would like to thank Philip from Australia and Billy from Seattle. We have this algorithm we use where the closer they are, the more local we get.
Yes.
But when we've got two like this, it always matches up weird, where you've got Billy from Seattle and Philip from Australia, suggesting that they are both equally, they are equally important political divisions. And I would say it's like the continent and country of Australia and the city of Seattle.
Yeah.
Not so in this case. I don't know why I care about this.
I just don't know. Well, Philip did donate to Peggy's challenge, and he wished to be identified as Philip from Australia. And we thank him for his contribution to Peggy's challenge.
Yes. And my weird discussion. If you would like to contribute to Peggy's Challenge, you can go to, which is Peggy's Challenge from Kent Local, to the listeners of Ask an Atheist, to help us keep the lights on. You can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the yellow button on the right-hand side of the screen, and take you right to our PayPal page. Every dollar you give us goes directly towards show production. So keeping the good news going, we should probably stick to the stuff we've covered in the last few weeks, because there's been some changes in some of the stories that we've been covering. It was 2 weeks ago that we spoke about this one. Adam Miller, the faith healer who sued YouTube skeptic Stephanie Gutterson, has dropped his case. Miller served the court a notice of dismissal without prejudice. Gutterson, who raised over $25,000 for legal fees, has decided not to pursue any follow-up action. In an announcement on our Facebook page, she put out a call to continue raising funds, which he intends to donate to a charity in Nevada.
So,
any idea what charity we're talking about there?
I can get back to our listeners on that one shortly. But it is pretty cool that we see this kind of surge in support for authentic skepticism.
Yeah.
And authentic media use of criticism and skepticism. And then in order to say, hey, you know what, this defamation and copyright suit that was against Stephanie is really just sort of not really worth challenging in court, right?
Well, she raised 25 large. She's got really good legal representation. He's a yutz in Bisbee. I think he saw the writing on the wall on this one. And it might be 1,000 people around him going, hey, have you heard of this First Amendment thing?
Right.
Or have you seen the history of these lawsuits? Do you see how they go? Like, is she lying?
Is she lying about anything that she said about Adam Miller's faith healing energy treatments? No. Is
that,
he lying?
And that goes for libel and, inability to produce, inability to make money or whatever that, you hurt me, whatever lawsuit he was going for. Otherwise, organizations like Yelp couldn't exist.
Right.
Because this is essentially what she's just giving is an in-depth bad review. For, a lot of junk science, like some real serious crap there, curing baldness and AIDS,
for example. It's anything that's on Adam Miller's website is merely for entertainment purposes only, which, of course, is buried in an asterisk small print at the bottom of his webpage, when at the same time he has testimonials from people saying that they have been authentically healed.
Where he's using that as that's a shield a lot of people use, and it is an effective shield to a point. Is he saying this is for entertainment purposes only? But did Sylvia Brown say that she this says on her website that she cures AIDS? Some religious folks do, but religious people get a pass. That's Christian privilege talking right there. Not just to atheists, but that's what that is. Specifically in the faith healer situation. But you can't say this is for entertainment purposes only. But I cure AIDS.
Yeah.
Right.
Ignore my head. This is for entertainment purposes only, but if you're bald, I can fix it.
Right.
Yeah.
And his head being bald.
Right.
Less.
Right, right.
I like the one where he says that he's going to cure car accidents.
But my point, it's like that episode of Mystery Science Theater with Gamera, where the kids mention all the, and the one with Corn Job.
Yes.
Where they mention all the word, like, wars and disease and famines and car accidents and, What? Yeah, I love that. Anyway, that is not going to be adequate protection if you actually hurt somebody. That's not going to protect him at all. And he may have gotten some, if he pushed this, he may have gotten attention from, like, the FDA, who will sometimes say, you aren't allowed to do what you do, even though it says for entertainment purposes only, because your advertising is very,
Misleading, if you will.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the charity that Stephanie will be donating her things to is called Opportunity Village, and it's at opportunityvillage.org, and it is about kids and children and other family members with disabilities, and looking at how people with disabilities are served and supported in that particular area of the country.
Oh, fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah.
So
keep it up then. Yeah. I think you might tell. I mean, I'm glad that she's out of the, because there's a lot of pressure with a lawsuit, whether or not you win or lose.
Right.
There always is. I mean, L. Ron Hubbard used lawsuits. He would use a tactical lawsuit. He didn't care if he won or not. He just knew it would tie up your funding.
Yeah.
Although I think you can kind of tell I was looking forward to this one.
It would have been fun to watch to see how it comes out, but it's probably for the best that it...
It is absolutely for the best, but sometimes it would be fun to watch somebody just grot themselves out thoroughly.
Crash and burn.
Yeah, which is where that was going to go.
Yep.
Sticking with news that we've covered recently, North Carolina's Lincoln County Commission Board Chairman Carol Mitchum has backtracked on statements he made about non-Christian prayers being offered at commission meetings. Mitchum, who expressed that followers of other religions should stay the hell away, unquote, told reporters that he didn't speak for the board and that his statement was probably a mistake. Other board members distanced themselves from the chairman's words. Still, Mitchum insisted that he wouldn't listen to any non-Christian prayers, and that if any were delivered to the commission, he would leave the room until they were done. So.
Well, that's his right to leave when he disagrees with something, but it's not his right to tell an entire group of people, no, you can't do, you know, pray in this event.
I like the my words were probably a mistake. Also, legally in error.
Yeah.
And probably bad for your reputation. The board members who distanced themselves from his words said, yeah, I really don't support board members putting their foot in their mouths. That was like one of the quotes from one of the other board members.
I really dislike this political idea that you shouldn't apologize or that you shouldn't admit a mistake because mistakes are bad. Because it's just now he's clearly made a mistake and he looks dumb. He made a mistake and he's too conceited to make a real apology. This does not work for him. This does not work for people. Could we just as a people drop this? Please
drop the prayers before government.
No, I'll get to that in a minute. I'm talking about the non-apologies. If you're going to apologize or say nothing.
It actually shows a great deal of humanity to be like, hey, my bad.
Yeah.
Let me make this up to you. Like, it shows a great deal of character. And to do a non-apology just shows how superficial you are as a person. Like, it's infuriating.
And his non-apology isn't even, I'm sorry for those who may have been offended by the things that I may or may not have said. He said, well, what I said was a mistake, but I still won't listen to your non-Christian prayers.
Yeah, he's gone from just absolutely ignoring the Establishment Clause of the Constitution towards crying in the corner when his ball is taken. I will take that. I will accept that as a victory for our side, but... I'm not going to pretend that this guy is any standard by which I would hold myself. I mean, you know, this is not exactly an upstanding person here.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, that's where it gets me is this idea that specific types of religious politicians that we have been discovering as we participate in local government. You find them on local government. Who just seem very ill-educated on the government they are a part of.
Yeah.
You know, they understand paperwork, they understand politicking, they understand how to annoy each other, they understand all of these things, they understand the little party politics that happens on that level, they understand how to make each other feel bad, they understand how to maintain power on the board of directors or whatever it is. They don't seem to understand that you can't tell people that not to be religious or to be not religious. They seem to think that their little council rooms are their domain, that it's their house, that it's their castle.
That it's their own little dais or pulpit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that they can do what they want. And they don't seem to understand that what they can do as a person isn't the same as what they can do as a council person.
Right.
That once you take on that mantle and once you start speaking specifically for the county, you are not a human. You're not a human anymore. You're speaking on behalf of a government. You are a government. And a government is very specifically limited in the Constitution, specifically about stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
That bothers me.
I think,
as you can tell.
I think it does. I think I can tell. We have that in our own little local politics here in Western Washington, even. We have it in little pockets around the country. One of our favorites is Reverend Gordon T. Klingenschmidt of Colorado, who, again, is
Klingenschmidt!
The local politicians who managed to get elected despite having a preaching show that talks about the non-rights of non-Christians, the purported non-rights of non-Christians. And he has had his behind scolded, if you will, metaphorically. And he has actually stopped his preaching radio show for the remainder of his term. It is quite amazing. They do understand.
I mean, that's nice, but I don't think that's nice, but I don't think he should have to do that.
You don't think that he should have
to? I don't know. I don't know. Cause like I said, there's a difference in being a person and being a person at home in your recording studio and on the job as a politician I don't know.
Yeah. I know when, Schwarzenegger was running for politics in California, like the local stations weren't allowed to show his movies, so maybe it's that sort of same sort of thing. Like, you shouldn't be allowed to have, you know, your radio show or your TV show or whatever while you're running and trying to influence these people. But as soon as you're on the board or whatever you're doing, you should have the right to your private life as well as your council person thing, as long as they don't overlap.
I can kind of see that, especially since at that point when you've got undefeatable Arnold Schwarzenegger just, you know, beating, you know, chopping off somebody's arm and beating him to death with it, the governor destroys everything. I can totally see that. But there have been some court cases really recently where in terms of elections, the concept of what is speech is interpreted rather broadly. And if let's just say, I'll just put it straight out there. If campaign donations are speech, why isn't an appearance on the airwaves speech? I sort of wonder at that. Now, I don't know how to. You might be able to figure out my opinion on that one if you look anywhere but on the show. But
sounds like you might be leaving it to courts to decide then.
I think it's gonna. Yeah, that it's nice when it happens. That way, but I honestly, in my case, the reason I'm saying this is if I had somebody like Klingenschmidt here in Pierce County, like McCune, I'd want him talking a lot.
I'd want him
where everybody can see him, because there is, because he's going to speak to a very specific constituency. But there's a lot of people who's like, wait, this is the kind of person who may want to end the world. To go back to an earlier conversation, where his participation in his religion outstrips his participation in politics. He's in politics because religion, and he believes in a very specific religion that has a very specific endpoint. And I don't know if that's somebody I want deciding whether or not my roads get paved.
And I don't think that's an endpoint that we share.
Yeah, exactly. And in that situation, I think I think people should, I think he should be shouting that from the mountaintops. And I believe that's his job.
What do you want to bet that he wasn't really voted into his position for any sort of actual political stance, but just because he has a really cool name and people weren't just like, we're just going through the voters pamphlet like, I'll vote for that. Like,
I think in terms of, in the case of Reverend Gordon T. Klingenschmidt, perhaps it is his name, but he does come from a very small district. And if he was on the ballot as Reverend, that also provides an air of respectability.
I'm reasonably certain that they keep salutations off ballots.
So the official titles might be.
Yeah, because I voted for a couple. Well, I don't know. This might be a by precinct thing, but I voted for a couple people with PhDs who were referred to as doctor.
Doctor, yeah.
And I did not see doctor on the ballot. Because
I'm pretty sure I've seen doctor on ballots here, but on a very local level, like a superintendent sort of thing.
Well, I guess you could say this is what I want my ballot to look like, otherwise how would Vermin Supreme get on any ballot? And there's Jello Biafra.
Is Vermin Supreme the
I think he's also in Colorado, actually,
that wears the shoe on his head?
Yes, that's the guy who wears the shoe on his head. I believe he lives in Boulder. There would be an interview.
Indeed.
Okay, well, we have some more good news, and this one gets pretty local, like this room. California's Del Norte County Board of Supervisors has voted to put a plaque reading E Pluribus Unum next to a previously approved In God We Trust plaque. Board Chair David Finnegan proposed the plaque after reading about it in an email exchange between another board member, Roger Gitlin, on the original motto project run by Robert Ray. Gitlin, when contracted by Ray, refused to bring the subject to the board. Finnegan read about the exchange in the local paper and declared that Gitlin didn't speak for the board. The proposal passed 4-2-1, with only Gitlin dissenting.
This is really cool.
It's so cool.
So, Robert, who has been in our studio and
he's been interviewed on the show. He's been on the show. He was with us both in Pierce County and in
Clark County
in
Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool. Robert has taken this mantle and started a group called the Original Motto Project. So we're looking at In God We Trust, which was adopted as the motto by Congress in the 50s as, you know, a pushback against godless communism. And looking back at the motto E Pluribus Unum from many one that had been the accepted motto, if not officially adopted by Congress, but used over and over in many different, you know, seals and currency, all kinds of things like that. So looking at reestablishing that as something that is much more inclusive and does not promote any sort of God belief by the American people.
Right. It's so great to see people that, you know, that we know personally making such a huge impact. It's amazing. I'm so proud of him. He's great.
I imagine we'll be talking about this a little bit more.
Yeah.
I know I want to work on this one. And I'm certainly not done here in Pierce County. So
no, and you know, the Pierce County In God We Trust did get approved alongside a E Pluribus Unum. And if you go back about, a year now, last summer was when all that went down here in Pierce County. But here's the thing. When you look at E Pluribus Unum, this is next to the approved In God We Trust plaque. So looking at all the places that have jumped on the In God We Trust bandwagon, which is, of course, is led by one local person in Bakersfield, California.
Formed a corporation has clearly gotten some funding.
Right. But why can't one local person in, in Western Washington have the same kind of movement?
Exactly.
And for something that is definitely inclusive and secular.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to this. I think we might be talking about this a little more on the show as time goes on. And
so one of the things that would be really nice to have is actually not just E Pluribus Unum alongside any In God We Trust, but to have that in places where there is no plaque whatsoever.
Actually, I think a victory for me would be when they take down In God We Trust and put up In Pluribus Unum.
Wouldn't E Pluribus that be great?
Unum. And I think that is entirely a maintainable goal in places where this has been a big fight.
Yeah.
I think.
I think it's definitely possible. I think there would be a huge fight to have that happen. But I don't know. With the rise of secularism across the country, I don't think it'll be too much longer before people are like, this doesn't make sense anymore.
Have we actually talked about that Pew Research poll that came out recently on the show yet?
We've not yet talked about that on the show. We're hoping to give some more in-depth analysis, but we have, you know, the ARIS study of 2008, and we have Pew Research polls in the early 2010s, and most recently, the newest Pew poll has shown great, great leaps, and I mean great as in big, as in, you know, of magnitude, leaps in the number of Americans that are unaffiliated and secular. And within that population, typically we call those the nuns or the non-affiliated, the religious nuns, the non-religious. Not all of those folks will consider themselves atheist or agnostic.
Yeah.
But even within that segment, there was a jump.
Yeah.
Well, it does seem like there's a lot of misunderstandings about how to read that poll, because that poll, it's not for us. It's not the "Are you an atheist? Yes, no" poll. It's trying to get an accurate representation of what religious feeling in the United States is like, and I think it does a pretty good job of that as long as you're willing to accept or as long as you understand the divisions it's making.
Yeah.
Where religious nuns is a pretty wide category that clearly includes us, but also includes a lot of spiritual but not religious people. It has nothing to say about skepticism or belief in things like astrology, which tend to be still not horribly popular, but popular.
It also has nothing to say on the level of acceptance of scientific data.
Right.
Right.
And the level of education around scientific understandings. You have, even in the early, 2010s poll, people who are not religiously affiliated that still do not accept that human beings, a modern Homo sapiens, evolved from previous ancestors.
Right.
And that's kind of an astounding figure to look at. So in terms of looking at the hold that religious thinking has on prompting and priming our minds to say that, no, we couldn't just be here as a product of evolutionary pressures. We had to have had a creator. Even people that do not ascribe to a particular religion, that thinking still has tremendous hold.
Absolutely. And that's the kind of thing you have to look at this research stuff. But we're going to be talking about it in future episodes, I think. This is Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Mulvey, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go into a break, and when we come back, we'll see if we can try to keep the good news train going, I think.
After a deadly tornado destroyed her family's home, Rebecca Witzman teamed up with Foundation Beyond Belief to use her background in volunteer coordination to develop humanist disaster recovery teams. Seattle Atheists and Foundation Beyond Belief will welcome Rebecca at 7 p.m. on May 26th at Town Hall Seattle. Buy tickets for Rebecca Witzman After the Disaster at brownpapertickets.com or at the door. For more information, visit seattleatheists.org.
Hey, podcast listeners.
Did you know that Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey is a radio show?
Radio waves and everything.
If you know of a radio station that could benefit from Ask an Atheist in your area, let us know.
And don't forget to let the station know you'd love to hear us.
So to help us humanize atheists in mass media, email us at stations@askanatheist.tv.
Billy, I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it'll explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We have an email. This is from Vegar from Norway. I'm probably pronouncing that horribly, I'm thinking. And he writes, "The anti-vaccination crowd's most common argument has been that it causes autism. And here's a funny fact. I was born with autism, and I'm actually doing fine. I wish to share this comment with you. A friend of mine taught me, and that is, the world is not made of stereotypes. I often use this for multiple opportunities, like atheists are evil, and the negative notes about autism. I wish to get clear one point no one has brought up so far. Why is autism a bad thing? We can function in a society just like others, so even if vaccinations cause it, we can work just like the others. And in some cases, better, actually. We may have limitations for how much we can focus on, but we do it immensely well." So, you had a lot to say about this one.
Well, I worked in special needs for 5 years with a wide spectrum of people with needs, and the kids on the autism spectrum that I worked with were wonderful, wonderful kids. I mean, yeah, maybe they didn't want to read at the time that I said that it was time to read, but that doesn't mean that they're not capable of reading. It was just not the right time for that mindset. And it's everybody has their quirks and their little idiosyncrasies. And it's just a matter of figuring out how to get around those, figuring out how to accommodate what people need. And that's true for kids without special needs, too. So having this negative stigma, just like he said, or she said, people are people.
Right.
And once you realize that and you take away the labels of, you know, autism versus, you know, Down syndrome versus whatever, I mean, whatever. Once you take away those labels, you just realize that everybody's, biologically speaking, we're all pretty much the same.
I do have to say, I do know a little bit about this sort of thing. And mm-hmm. I mean, autism is, I mean, there's a reason they put it on a spectrum.
It is a spectrum, yeah.
And when you get farther down the spectrum, it can be fairly debilitating.
It can be. And a lot of it is social awareness. There are some, I didn't work with most of the nonverbal kids, but there were some that they struggled,
yeah.
And I don't necessarily know if it was the autistic aspect of their disabilities or if there were other aspects of their life that were causing some of these issues.
Yeah.
But there's no clear answer. But for most people, I think that identify as being on the spectrum, it's not a debilitating thing.
No. No, yeah. And this is one of those things where it's they ask this question but nobody, and just because we want to fight people who are horrible, we want to fight them. You know, like
right.
The people who say, well, being gay is a choice, da, 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 and we go, no, it's not, it's biology, look at the facts, and mm-hmm. the facts are that it's not. But in the back of my head is, so what if it is? You know,
right.
I mean, why does that matter? And, you know, I thought we had this whole freedom thing figured out,
right.
But, in this case, it's kind of similar, not as obvious
yeah.
because apparently it is a disorder, but I've known a lot of autistic people in my time. And if I had to choose between having autistic friends and people dying of polio, that's a fairly easy decision to make.
I think that it can be very, very difficult when you're looking at an individual who is faced with a decision about their child. And when you have all the hopes and dreams for your child and they don't come out as you had expected, it can be really, really difficult to try and find sort of a way to reconcile that. But the fact is, I imagine that anyone that has a child, the things that happen to their child and how they turn out aren't going to be aligned with what you hoped and dreamed necessarily.
Right?
Yeah.
Being a child who maybe didn't line up with my parents' hopes and dreams. I mean, we are all children of
yeah.
our parents
uh-huh.
who have ideas about how we are going to grow up. And we all become our own people.
And I can tell you for free, my parents didn't want a radio show host.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure my minister father definitely does not want me to be on this show.
You know, I don't even know if I should say this, but I think I will, because why not? I have the rare, I guess, honor of being both in the gifted program and the special ed program at the same time when I was in elementary school.
That's actually
it's common, now.
Thing. Yeah.
But I'm 37. It wasn't
yeah.
so common back then. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of the times the only way I could tell whether or not I was in the special ed room or the gifted person room was what the sign on the wall said.
Yeah.
It just was the kind of attention that they got. And that kind of annoyed me. That stuck with me, and I think it drives a lot of how I think about these sorts of things, and specifically about education to this day. Whereas if the kids in the special ed room were getting the attention that the kids in the gifted, in the gifted program room were getting, maybe they wouldn't be in the special ed room.
Right.
And I know that was, and I was just lucky because I'm good at testing. And like, seriously, Scantrons are easy to me. I'd slobber on a Scantron and I get a B. Fantastic.
But Vegar, you bring up some really, really wonderful points. And I will say you are not our only listener who has written in who identifies on the autism spectrum.
Yeah.
And so thank you. And thank you for being a proponent of vaccinations, mm-hmm. understanding that from a scientific perspective, it is one of the best things that has happened to increase global health. There's some really neat things that have come out in terms of measles right now.
Yeah.
It looks like that once large populations of children get measles vaccines, it looks like many, many other childhood illnesses also lessen. And there's some really interesting hypotheses being formed right now about the measles virus tanking your immunity in immune response in other respects, and having an measles immunity supporting overall childhood health in particular.
Yeah, there's a biological energy cost in having a disease. Yeah. I mean, you know, just have a disease, and I think you figure that out pretty quickly. Yeah. you know, I remember when I had chicken pox, which is, you know, used to be a thing people got.
Yeah.
I felt fine, except I was just tired all the time because my body was spending most of its time trying to fight off this infection.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, did we figure out if that list of anti-vax trolls or whatever, did that end up being a scam, or do we know anything
about
that?
I'm not sure. You know, in the pro-science community, there's been a list that's been popularized that says, hey, look, your name may or may not be on the list of anti-vaccination trolls, and this is from folks.
No, let's get it right. This is a list promulgated supposedly. The theory is that this is a list that the anti-vax people put together of pro-vaccination trolls.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's I'm on it.
Yes,
yeah.
You are, Sam.
I thought it was one of those things where it was like you'd click on it to be a list of your friends.
Yeah,
I mean, like yes, all of my friends. Yes.
Yeah, no, Dan is on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a number of us on it, actually.
Quite
I think
proud.
Gillis is on it, and he hasn't been on the show in a million years.
Yep. So I guess if you are anti-vaccination or if you're vax-skeptical, then you probably have problems with us.
If you have any details on that one and want to discuss them, I'd love to hear about them. Because, one, how do they get that list? That'd be good to know.
Yeah.
Two, is it a scam? You know, it's like, maybe it's a false flag operation put together by the government in order to figure out who likes diseases. You know, it could be something like that. Moving on. Ouch. The president of the Boy Scouts of America announced that the current policy banning gay scout leaders is unsustainable. Robert Gates made the statement in a speech at the Scouts annual meeting in Atlanta, pointing out to councils, such as the one in New York City, who have defied the ban. Gates made no proposal to change the policy at the meeting, but suggested revising the policy to allow local groups to decide for themselves whether or not to allow gay leaders. It was only April of last year that the BSA revoked the charter of a Seattle troop at Rainier Beach United Methodist Church that refused to dismiss their gay scoutmaster. Yay! Well, yay, I guess.
Progress-ish?
Yeah.
I'm actually reminded of the Archbishop of Dublin that says, in response to the gay marriage, or marriage equality referendum passing, the church needs to do a reality check. I think Boy Scouts of America is facing inward right now and says, I think we need to do a reality check.
Yeah.
Yep.
And here we go. Now, this seems to be the evolution of it when politicians and is this the same Robert Gates?
I don't know. He is the president of Boy Scouts of America.
Okay. So the politician guy named Robert Gates. Anyway, this seems to be what you do when you don't have the courage to say that you were wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, before where I said the inability to actually apologize because it makes you look weak, that's the low end. And I think this is the end that doesn't really hurt anybody. It's just annoying. This is the kind of the high end. Instead of being able to go up in front of people and say, we were wrong, we should change this policy, I suggest that we change this policy now so that we stop hurting people. No, I'm not strong enough to do that. I'm not. I don't have the courage of my convictions. I'm not really a human being. I'm. You can see how annoyed I am. You know, my heart is stone, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just going to say we're going to leave it to the individual groups to decide. Da-da-da-da. So now instead of actually standing behind the idea that humans have value, you know, the idea that humans are allowed dignity, we're going to pass off the discrimination to the local groups for a while. We're going to let them locally discriminate and not really care if they're being discriminating at all. This is a step in the right direction, I have to admit, but this still doesn't make me jump for joy at the Boy Scouts.
No,
an organization I was once a part of.
I think it is a tiny step in the right direction. They could do a lot more, but I think that what we will eventually see is the vast majority of these local groups making the decision to allow gay scout leaders. And I think that this president will sort of probably have to do that reality check of, you know, oh, I wanted it to go this other way, but I they went a way I didn't expect.
I think there's two points of contrast here. One is that if the local groups want to still keep saying no gay scout leaders and no gay scouts for that matter, they can go the way that the Auburn troop did and disassociate from Boy Scouts of America. It's very easy. In Auburn, Washington, there was a troop that said, you know what, We don't want to go by the policy of allowing gay scouts, so we're going to disassociate from the scouts. You can do that. And the president of Boy Scouts America could say, yes, you're welcome to go be something other than the Boy Scouts. Second point of contrast, when you have the president of BSA saying, eh, we're going to leave it up to local troops, contrasted with Girl Scouts of America saying, mm-hmm. we're going to allow transgender or gender fluid children to be part of our troops and our packs and our brownie
I mean,
groups.
It's easy to say that, you know, here in Seattle or New York or Chicago or San Francisco or L.A., that this is going to be a thing, you know, the big cities. It's going to be an easy thing to see gay scouts and gay scoutmasters. I worry about, you know, I worry about the kid who lives in Globe, Arizona. I worry about mm-hmm. the kid who lives in Arkansas. I worry about the kid who lives in Wyoming, who's gay and who wants to be a scout and is being told that not only can they not be a scout, but they are in fact evil by the rules of this book that really has should have nothing to do with them. And the idea of the Boy Scouts of America condoning this.
Condoning it and not standing by the kid in Wyoming and the kid in Arkansas and the kid in Arizona. To that end, though, we are seeing a sea change. Laramie, where Matthew Shepard was brutally murdered, the site of that, has recently passed an anti-discrimination act protecting LGBT folks.
Yeah.
So even in rural...
It's easy to say, oh, cities, you know, they're backwards in the cities. Da, da, da. And it's not like that. I mean, most people, what I've learned is, you know, in most places in America, most people just want everybody to get along and don't care about this sort of stuff. But they're just... In when you're not in a city, it seems somehow easier to have this stuff prevail. I'd like to know the mechanism for that.
I would like to know as well.
Yeah, I just because I do hate the stereotype. Oh, I'm from the country, therefore I'm dumb. I really hate that stereotype, and I try not to push it. But God, news should stop being news. But I used to advocate for a boys auxiliary of the Girl Scouts of America.
Yeah.
I don't know what you would call it other than that, but that would be a nice turnabout, and it would it would create a place for Boy Scouts to be in sort of a less bigoted environment. Mm-hmm. But there are other organizations that we've talked about now on the show.
Yep, we of course have Camp Quest, which is primarily a summer program. We have Camp Fire. We have Camp Fire USA that is co-ed and non-sectarian, the thing is that Boy Scouts at this point still does discriminate against atheists.
Yes.
You cannot become an Eagle Scout unless you profess faith in God, service to God and country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have scouts in other places like the UK where that's no longer required. But, you know, Boy Scouts, you're going in a good direction if you allow scout leaders that are gay. But when will you allow an atheist?
Yeah. Don't listen to my bitterness. good job. Just do more, I suppose.
Yeah.
So this Tuesday, I believe we're going to be up in, I'm going to be up in Seattle for Rebecca Fitzman's talk, which, by the way, we're going to keep the good news trains coming. Rebecca Fitzman's house was destroyed by a tornado. Yeah, there's production for you.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Asking Atheist listeners. You're welcome. That's
it was destroyed.
We're good at irony.
It was destroyed by a tornado, but 2 years on, she has rebuilt her life and the life of her family.
And helping others do the exact same thing now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And good friends of ours, which, you know, it's always nice to have friends.
So if you want to see some folks from the Ask an Atheist crew and definitely folks from Seattle Atheists, then that would be a great place to be Tuesday evening.
Tuesday evening. I will be there as well, but I will be there as a member of Foundation Beyond Belief to hand out information and tell you guys what we're all about. And that should be a lot of fun, I think. How about you?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for kind of, you know, propping me up and hitting me with sticks to get this thing recorded. But unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for today. My name is Sam Olvey. With me today was Rebecca Friedman and Bridget Lombardo. Our writer was Dave Roulette. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. You can give us an email at questions at askanatheist.tv. Leave us a voicemail at 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. See you guys next week.